Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome back to the show. We're glad you're with us here tonight. And to start right off, I want to remind you that the Wednesday night show in January will be at a new place. So you want to check that out. If you need that information, go to www.drpatallen.com to find out that information. And Monday, we will not be doing the show in January on the 2nd. We will be doing it the following Monday, and I believe that is the 9th, because of the holiday. So, but we will still be there in Culver City at the Marriott, Courtyard Marriott. So find that information, www.drpatallen.com. And once again, I want to remind you that the Want Institute, Dr. Pat Allen's 501c3 nonprofit organization, has a campaign going on right now on You Caring. You can get that information in our newsletter. If you haven't signed up, go to drpatallen.com. You can find out more about it on Facebook. If you follow us, you should have seen it. If you don't follow us, you should. And if you want to just do a general search, you can Google that, You Caring, Dr. Pat Allen, the One Institute. Dr. Pat Allen, you're on the air. You're on the air.
I know it, and I'm ready to serve.
Excellent. So how's everything going?
It's going fine. I had my eyes checked today, and they're maintaining. And that's good, because when you get up there, and I'm up there, 82, and things are holding together, but it takes 16 doctors, 14 days, to check everything to make sure I'm still functioning. But I'm functioning.
It sounds wonderful. Are you ready for the holiday? Because we are coming up on Christmas. This is the last time we'll be together on the show before Christmas. So what do you have to say to your fans out there about Christmas?
Remember, we need three things to live a full life. Someone to love. And it's not a human, a dog or a cat, comfort dog, comfort cat. Someone to love, something to do, hopefully that benefits mankind, and something to look forward to.
It's
so
true.
I am having a good holiday season because I have people to love, things to do, and things to look forward to. Now, I can hold myself responsible for the fact that when you live a complex life, there are ups and downs. And the secret of living through that is to know it exists and it's just part of life.
Well, I agree with that. And I think one of the interesting things is people always ask, why is there so much evil and wicked in the world? And I say, because everything in life is a balance, like you talk about with the yin and yang for life, and everything's like that. The universe, the light and the dark, and it's important to understand. And I know there's people out there that maybe don't have anybody or feeling down this season, and if they are, I hope they'll reach out. I hope they'll reach out maybe here tonight on the show, or just reach out to somebody during this holiday season. It can be rough for some people. But
that's true.
I have something.
I want to say something. Napoleon Hill's book, Outwitting the Devil, makes a big point of the issue of, in every pleasure is something painful.
Yes.
In every pain, something pleasurable can grow from it. So the complementarity of pain and pleasure, good and evil, you see, is very, very present. So I recommend that you go on YouTube and listen to Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill, who wrote, Think and Grow Rich.
Oh, yeah.
But his family kept it out of print until Sharon Lecter, who wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad, got them to give it to her, and she got it into print. And so there was a case where a family was afraid of the spiritual and kept to the path of what we would call hedonism, money. But ultimately, it's coming out. And it's out. The book, that is.
That's awesome. Speaking of that, you're going to be having a book coming out very, very soon. As a matter of fact, I'm doing the final work on the cover and the editing, and then we should be submitting for publication.
And I thank you.
Oh, my most distinct pleasure. So that's very exciting, and that's something we have to look forward to in the new year. And lots of great things.
We didn't mention the name of it.
Oh, my gosh, Dr. Allen, tell us about your book.
It's A Man's World. They're in charge of junk, buying it, selling it, building it, taking it down. And women are in charge of air. And we know that when air is toxic, everybody pays. And we know that when you're especially close to the ocean, the negative ions are so good for your nervous system. So
yes,
it's A Man's World and a Woman's Universe is the book that's going to print right now.
So exciting. And I have to tell you, I live almost completely surrounded by sea or tidal waters. So
negative ions.
Yeah, you have to cross two bridges to get to my town. And I like it that way. It's excellent. So we do have a question. And here's what it says. That's a long one. A guy I met on a dating app has been messaging me all day, every day. I feel there's so much chemistry between us, and I thought he really liked me from the things he said. We had no intercourse. The conversation flows so well. I thought I would have never minded him calling me, but surprisingly, I didn't. Our messages satisfied me enough. We went on three amazing dates, and I played the feminine role in all of them, and I thought he was masculine. I really, really liked him. We were speaking for just over a month when suddenly he went cold and then stopped replying. He hasn't messaged me for almost 2 weeks now, and I feel quite a bit of pain. I put him on the 8-week list. But is it normal for him to suddenly stop messaging me when he would message from morn till night? Also,
well, that's what he did, but I'm wondering what she did, because in the first sentence, she said, I met him, I dated him, rather than he met me and dated me. So I would be very interested in knowing if she has designed a plan for him and herself that he has picked up, he's not following, and it is turning him off.
Right, so she might be exhibiting some masculine behavior there.
Well, she may not be appreciating the way he's running the show because it's not her way.
Gotcha. She follows that with, also, you say you could message for a ritual during the 8 weeks. What are the benefits of me doing that for Christmas?
The benefits are that when a man thinks you don't appreciate him, you don't respect him, he is likely to pull back. So the only thing that I am comfortable teaching people to do are ritual strokes. That's birthdays, bar mitzvahs, Christmas, Thanksgiving, whatever.
Right.
And those would be ways to reach out but not to be seductive, not to be trying to get him into your body, bed, and life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's worked for the last, I don't know, 3-4 years. Because
when men
do not feel respected and appreciated, they tend, like I said, to pull back because they think we don't like them. But
right.
The truth of the matter is, if we're masculine, we have a design for who he should be that he doesn't know. Remember, there's 4 loser techniques in communication. One is evasiveness, which means you don't answer questions, and men love to interview, but you don't answer questions truthfully and in detail. The second one is secretive. You expect him to mind read you as if he's a psychic. The
right.
third one is condescension.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you're looking for the blemishes in him and holding him accountable for not being perfect. And the fourth one is abrupt. No, thank you. I'm leaving. It's time to go home. They're very cryptic statements that say, I'm not feeling close to you.
Very, very interesting.
So if she's listening to this radio show, LA Talk Radio, if she's listening, she might want to call in and give me a run-by of whether she's evasive, secretive, condescending, or abrupt, because she's not guessing how to do what she wants psychically, secretly, whistly.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Well, caller, we hope that you are listening and that you'll call in and give Dr. Allen some more information. It looks like we have a call coming in. And
that's nice.
It is nice. Oh, also, caller,
hello?
You're on the air. Got to turn your radio
down.
Oh,
yes. Hi, Dr. Pat. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, how
Hello.
Are you?
I have a question. A very nice gentleman met me, and we went on a date last night. And
ooh, that's so good.
Yes, yes, it was real nice. And it's my
I'd
first
say
date.
That
and,
because you said a man met me.
Oh, I know what you like. I'm a good student. I've been reading your stuff for very long now.
Good.
So, even after everything I read and listened to and studied, it was so hard for me not to be masculine. And here's how. He was a little bit nervous, I could tell. And I became nervous because he was nervous. I pick up on that stuff really quickly. And I found myself talking more than I know I should have. Like,
all
he would
right.
get kind of quiet. And I try to stay quiet for as long as I could. And then it's just like, oh, I can't take this uncomfortable silence. So what's your advice? Just shut up?
Passive, patient, and vulnerable are my 3 requirements for women to act
mm-hmm.
like ladies. Passivity is when you basically want to be cherished, not respected. And so therefore,
mm-hmm.
your job is responsiveness, not leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Then patience
mm-hmm.
is when you require performance on his part and he doesn't do it and you fill it in, that's you mothering him. With real men do not feel respected when they're mothered. Now boys love to be mothered. But the women that mother them are men. So
mm-hmm.
vulnerable, now here's the secret. Vulnerable is being the co-pilot on his plane, not a competitive pilot. So that passivity, patience, and vulnerability help a man fill the space, lead, assert, because there's space for him to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, but for like that particular situation, if let's say, well, literally we'll walk in, sit down, he says something about a restaurant, and I say, yeah, it's, you know, this is a great place. And then we literally sit down, and he's just quiet. Should I just stay quiet too?
Yeah, just stay quiet until he realizes that you are not like other women he's dated who take over and fill in. You're mm-hmm. unique. And it's almost as if it turns the light on in them. And the ones that like to be men really, really appreciate your uniqueness. Now, the ones that like to be cherished, they will complain about the fact that you're not leading. I had a couple today that was like that. He had been trained to be a very feminine man and to respect his mother, and he was trying to build his wife into his mother, but she wanted to be cherished. So it was so wonderful when he got the message that he was the one that had to say, I think this, how do you feel about it? And she got to be relieved of the responsibility of mothering, being a man, and leading.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So passive, patient, and vulnerable are the three characteristics. Now, for a man, it's competitive, conquering, and controlling. And I hate to mention this, but if you're with him, he's competing with your male, conquering your male, and controlling your male so that he can cherish you. A man cannot cherish you when you're not vulnerable, passive, and patient.
Got it. Okay, got it. Okay. Well, he was quite controlling because he picked the place, he picked me up. You know, he was very gentleman about it. I didn't talk to the host when we came in. He did. I didn't talk to the waitress. He did. So those are all good signs.
That's so good.
But then, you know, we sit down and he gets quiet and then the old me, the boy, came out. Damn it.
Did it come out much or just a little?
I think much. I think after the date, I was kind of trying to figure out who talked more. And I probably talked more than he did by about 30%. That's not good.
Okay. But you learned something. And now we're evaluating it so that you can do a little better the next time.
Yes. He did one the next time, so I didn't completely scare him off.
Well, he's been gone for 1 week?
Oh, no. This was just yesterday. He
settled down. Oh, yesterday. That is gone at all. Has he asked for another date?
He asked, yes. He said several times that he wanted to see me again. He's leaving for, I think, 5 days, he said, but then he'll be back.
Okay.
Well, we'll see.
But so he's ready for another round. So we're going to practice passive, patient, and vulnerable.
Yes.
Another tool you might want to remember is making an appointment to lead. I have some ideas about that. I have some thoughts about that. I have some wants about that. Would it be convenient for you to listen to them? And would now be okay? When you want to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question him about anything, make an appointment.
Mm-hmm. That's a great one. And is that okay to do very early on in the dating stage, or is this something for one that's already more serious?
I don't want you to ask questions like, why are you divorced? You see? Because that's that's closing the deal for you and he too soon. Mm-hmm. In other words, he may say something about his work, and you may want a little clarification. So you'll say, you mentioned that you do this, and I'm very fascinated by that. You know, would you be willing to explain that point of why you do that at work and is mm-hmm. now convenient?
Oh, I see, I see. Oh, this is so good. Cool. I remember that. Oh, this is gold.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Dr. Allen. Well, we've had a few sessions privately, and I'm the one with a very long affair with a married man, and it's done. I'm so happy.
Okay.
So, yes.
Good. Get out there practicing.
So, I'm sorry?
Get out there practicing one training.
Oh,
this
I am
one
practicing.
Training.
Yes, yes. I have another one tonight, hopefully, unless he bails on me. But different guy. And since
okay.
you know, this is so interesting. Since I decided done with that, with
good.
All that, it's like beast to honey. Men ask me out everywhere I go. It's incredible.
Yes. Okay. Good luck.
Thanks,
Thank
caller.
You. Thank you so much.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Well, that's very interesting. And it looks like we have another caller coming in, which is terrific.
Okay.
Oh, it's been forwarded to an automatic voice message
system. No. Oh, you know what else I wanted to mention? Hanukkah starts on December 24th, and Kwanzaa is December 26th. So for all of our fans out there, we want to wish you all wonderful holidays. Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Thank you for taking my call. Dr. Pat, thank you. So I have a question regarding whether I need to respond to my ex-boyfriend. I have been talking to you about him. He, you know, I sent that hi bye and he said, you know, thank you, but no. And then I found out why he's seeing somebody.
Why?
Pardon?
What?
I said, I found out why he said he doesn't want to, you know, get back. Because he's seeing someone else. And
right, that makes sense.
Yes. And I saw him at a holiday party that I went to. It was my friend's party. And anyways, he was there with this woman. And it was a woman that he had been friends with for a long time. And she threw herself at him the entire time we were together. And so it's kind of shocking because he had told me that he had never been interested in her like that. And so I was in shock that they were even there because it was my friends and I had no idea why they would even go to that party. I think she wanted to show me that, you know, she had him now. And so, you know, it was disturbing to me.
Do you
so he was right.
He asked, you? Wait a minute.
No.
Do you feel betrayed?
No,
do you think he lied?
No.
What?
No, I just was in shock that they would show up to this party. And I don't know. They have every right to go to that party. But he told me, he emailed me and said, I didn't know you'd be there. I looked at the guest list and didn't see you.
Nice.
But I was on the guest list and, you know, they both, I mean, there's no way they wouldn't know that I was there. So he's writing me a text and an email and saying, you know, he was apologizing. And then he was saying, but I think you should support me in this because I was, you know, visibly upset. And he was trying to, you know, toast with me at one point at the party. And I said, no. And he was like, why? And I couldn't say anything. I just said gross to him and that really upset him. And so in this email, he was saying, I don't understand why you said gross. And you know, it's
is he seriously involved with this other woman? Do you think?
Well, this woman is, his boss now, because I told you how he didn't have a job for so long and he did, and she had offered him a job because that's how they were friends. They were in the same industry. And And she had offered him a job a long time ago, and he didn't want the job because he felt it was beneath him.
But now he took it?
Now he took it because he was desperate, and she has been offering him, she's been saying all along she wanted him to be a partner in every way, and so I think she's trying to offer him like a sugar mama, you know, part of this business, and so he said to me in this email that kind of morphed into this thing, and you know, but he's telling me that I should support him, and he's saying to me that he wants me in his life as a friend, and you know, he thinks that right now probably can't.
Was he a boyfriend? Were you sexual with him?
Oh yes, we were in a relationship for
For anybody listening, lovers cannot be friends unless they have new lovers.
Absolutely. Well, he has one, but so my question is, my friends are saying, don't even talk to him. And the thing is, my whole relationship has been like I stuffed my feelings, and so I'm trying to learn how to be in my feelings. And not in my mind and argue and those kind of things. Like, and so is it, you know, because I know I'll see him and I know he'll want to talk to me about it. And I'm wondering if I should tell him my feelings or if I should just say I don't want to talk about it.
One moment. Do not reach out to him in any way other than business, if you have business with him.
I have none.
But respond. He's not married to the lady yet. Respond to every reach out that he makes to you in a ladylike way, but don't chase him emotionally.
Don't what emotionally? Don't what?
Don't chase him.
No.
Don't tell him, I'm still in love with you. Why did you leave me?
No,
I want you to respond to him because he seems to be sharing a lot of supportive feelings for you, and that's nice. And it may be that he's not with the right woman, even if she gives him a job.
Yeah.
And I want you not to court him, but to see what he does with you.
Well, I think he's trying to validate himself because all along he told me he didn't, he told me she was offering, you know, companionship. And he said, I know I could even be like her companion, even non-sexually, he said to me a while ago. And then he, you know, she wanted just someone and a partner in the business.
I think he wants me
to validate him.
No, darling.
And I don't want
you to go with, no. What he wants is you to be in your formaldehyde bottle in the basement of his house. In other words, he's penetrated your body sexually.
Yeah.
Which means territoriality. David Beck has a wonderful book called Dangerous Passions, about the positive territoriality of jealousy. So I have a funny feeling that he's not solidly locked into this other woman, but investigating, and that he's been solidly investigating you, sexually and otherwise, and I want you not to try to be his friend because you may be bonded to him chemically with oxytocin, and that would mean every time you smelled him, you would remate him, remarry him, and end up with nobody because he's still with her. So would you please not reach out to him, but please do respond to his reaching out to you, but without any significant date. In other words, no long talks over the water cooler, so to speak.
Well, I have a question, Dr. Allen. I want to interject. She said she was bound to see him at parties.
Yes, I'll see him. I'll see him because we do the same sports. We surf, and I know I'll see him. I always see him.
I don't care about seeing him, but if he walks into the kitchen, go into the front room. If he says, "Let's take a walk out in the yard," don't. In other words, don't anything that boyfriend
is referring to. I have no intention of it. I'm repulsed by the whole thing, and I don't really want to even engage with him because I'm just repulsed by his choice, and I think it's beneath him, and I don't know. I feel like he's kind of like she's being sugar mama and trying to, you know, seduce him, and he's succumbing to it because of where he's at, and it's just it's kind of repulsive to me. And
but
I think he wants me to validate him. Pardon?
That isn't validating. I sense that you're still chemically bonded to him.
Oh, of course. I am.
Okay, well then, don't talk about validating him. It's a matter of being with the man your body wants you to be with, temporarily or permanently. So please do not put intellectual messages, he's validating himself. No, what he's doing right now is he is courting two women, as far as I can see. He wants you to stay with him as a friend, even though you've been a lover. Mm-hmm. Lovers can't be friends until they're lovers with new people. But you don't have a new lover.
No.
He has a new lover. Men are built to be polyamorous. You see? Women are built to be mono, to be singular.
Yeah.
We tend to bond when we're young. Now, older women don't bond because they're going off estrogen. And therefore they become more capable of having multiple men. But older men are going on their feminine, so they bond. So that's the reason the older guy goes with the young, you know, gold digger hard body. And that's why the young woman stays friends with a former lover at the cost of her time and her fertility.
Right.
So
what do I say to him? What do I say to him when he wants to,
I still have too much feeling for you to be your friend.
Yeah.
I do not want to be your friend. I appreciate
your
right to be at a party where I am, but I'm not going to be too friendly.
And that's all I say if he wants to talk to me about.
I'm looking for my man. You found another woman. Right. I want to find my man. And I can't.
But when he says to me, you know, I think you should support my decision to be with her and that kind of stuff. Do I respond to that, or I just say nothing or ignore it?
I lost you. Why would I support you leaving me?
Yeah.
That was painful.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Do I share my feelings with him, or do I?
No, you said no. I thought when you said sharing your feelings, I miss you. I long for you. When are you coming back? Blah 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 blah.
No.
I want you to tell him how you feel when he invites you to be a friend.
Okay.
I can't be your friend.
That's not a problem. My question is, you know, I don't want to tell him who to see or what to do.
No,
but when he's looking
no.
for validation from me, do I
but I
share
no,
my
not looking
feelings
for validation,
no?
dear. He's looking for intimacy. He wants you in his life, near his body, in case he doesn't want the woman he's now chosen to be with.
Yeah. So when he tries to engage me, I just say to him, look, I can't engage with you because.
Yeah. Excuse me. Go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I call the bathroom the safe room.
Yeah. Okay. I can do that.
Stops anybody going to the bathroom.
Yeah, I can do that. No problem. Right. I can graciously exit.
Yeah, graciously exit. Okay.
Okay. I just didn't know if I should share my feelings because
you should share the feelings about not wanting.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks, caller.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you, guys. Have a great holiday.
You too.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, that was an interesting one.
Yeah.
It was almost like he wanted permission, like, you know.
No, she wanted to make him egotistically wrong for wanting her to wish for him and support him.
Oh, we got a caller.
Okay.
Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I'm on air?
You are on the
Hello.
Air.
Oh, hi. It's my first time on the phone. My question is, okay, my friend told me about Dr. Allen.
All right.
My question is that I've been out of a relationship for about 5 years. It was very in love with this person. Ended horrible. We were engaged.
It sounds like you still are bonded and in love with him.
Right. Yes, I am. I haven't met anybody since. I mean, I've dated, but...
No. Has anybody met you? Has anybody courted you?
I've met some people, but nobody got...
Listen. You keep repeating, I met them. You're in love with somebody. Everybody else looks like a dog.
Correct.
Has any man courted you to the point where you felt chemically attracted?
No.
Okay. So basically, you're married.
You said I'm married?
You're married chemically. When was the last time you smelled him? You were within 30 inches of him.
That was 5 years ago.
Okay. Do you have any pictures, anything in your house that is him?
I ripped everything up.
You got rid of everything.
Everything except I do have some things that he's given me, like a table.
A table?
Like some furniture stuff, yes.
And do you understand that all of those things remind you of him?
Okay, so get rid of them.
I would dare say you could probably use the money better than the table.
Okay. How do I get over this person?
By deciding to call Pat Allen and say, I want my own man. I've been alone for 5 years as a widow spinster, and I want to get over him. How do I do it? Well, what you do is get rid of anything, clothes especially, that are still smelling of him. Objects, because they remind you of him, and then you're married.
Okay, the only thing I have is the objects, like some of the furniture and stuff like that.
Did you and he live with that furniture?
I had my own apartment. He would stay here sometimes. He gave it to me.
I understand that. It's like he planted himself in your space.
That means every morning when you wake up, you see those objects, the first thing that comes into your mind is him.
It's him.
Correct. Okay. So how do I get, okay, I'll get rid of that stuff, but everybody, you hit it right on the button. I'm 51. Okay. I'm doing the dating thing, and I used to get attracted quickly, but it's like, I just get turned off immediately. I don't know what's wrong with me.
There's nothing wrong with you. You're married.
Right. And he's made sure, because you've got those objects, that every day you think of him, he's your first thought and probably your last thought.
No, I don't think of him every day. I still have, I'm very hurt still over this.
Wait a minute. Hurting is feeling. He still triggers pain in your soul because he's not in your life. But you have contaminated your area with his things. You're living with him.
Okay, I'm going to get rid of this stuff. I had started like getting a lot of rid of more stuff, but there is a table. There's like a few other things, a few little other things. Actually, it's just the table, I think.
Do you feel like if you get rid of those things or let those things go, that you're somehow betraying him?
No, not at all. I just got to go buy another table.
Then buy another table.
Okay.
And the other thing is, write him a divorce decree that you're, pick a day and divorce him.
You could even do it symbolically, like the Jews did in the Bible. They turned around three times and said, I divorce thee. And that was that. So it's a symbolic thing. Like the table is a symbol of him. You will, you know, divorce him symbolically. Like Dr. Allen's talking about writing a divorce decree, you know, when I broke up with my long-term person, I wrote a letter. He never received it because when I was done writing it, I was done. But it was a symbol.
Okay. Yeah, like Dr. Allen said, it's 5 years. This is not normal. It's like I'm like thinking, is it my hormones, middle age, what's going on? I'm an attractive girl, but it's like I've never met anybody like him. And
you were bonded to a man, which is normal, but you've never gotten the divorce.
Okay.
Yeah, it's worse. It's almost like you're a widow longing for that person that, you know, passed, and there's no way to correct that.
Right.
Do you know where he is? Do you have any contact? Do you track him on the Facebook or whatever?
No, it ended badly. We were engaged. He was losing his house. I guess I wasn't supportive, but what happened was this guy was wonderful, but there was, at the end, there was a woman, a friend of his that I never met. I never really asked to meet. But then I saw a file on his computer, and I said, I want to meet her before we get married. And he never produced her for a whole month. It was driving him crazy. And then I said, I can't move forward until I meet her.
You know what? The truth of the matter is, you were right. He was still married to her as a way to block your marriage.
Right.
Now you're using him to block your future marriage. Do you want to mate or marry a new man? That's the question.
Yes, but I have not met anybody that this, even though that was in the way.
No, honey. He represents your, he is your husband. What you're saying is I hold everybody up next to him and nobody beats him. That's because you've already voted him into office. That is your emotional husband as much as that other woman was his emotional wife. And you knew it, and you put him under a test, smart you, instinctive you, and he refused, which means he was mated and married to her more than you.
Right.
And now you're doing the same thing. You're saying, I haven't met anybody that beats him out. That's because he's at the top of the mountain and nobody can get up there. You've got you have to divorce him to be able to see and meet new men.
All right, I'm gonna take your suggestions. I appreciate it. I'm gonna get rid of all that stuff, like the stuff, the extra stuff, and write that letter.
Very good.
So are you duty dating?
What's duty dating? Are you
duty dating?
Yeah, I guess I feel, it's like I go online, I'm an attractive girl, but it's just painful.
Now,
I've got news for you. I've got news for you. It's painful because you're still married to him.
Okay.
So tell her what duty dating is, Dr. Allen.
Duty dating is when you practice dating people you have no chemistry for as a way to threaten your marriage. You're being unfaithful.
Oh, okay. So how do I stop duty dating?
No, you want a duty date. You want a
duty date. You're going to duty date till you meet the man that triggers your chemistry.
So you have to date three men at least three times. One man is not enough. Two men is not enough. You must date three men at least three times, even if you don't feel.
Okay. You're saying, so say if I meet somebody, go on three dates.
Wait a minute. I want somebody to meet you.
We want them to court you.
See, you keep saying, I meet. You pick men that don't threaten him. I want you to be receptive to men that are chasing you three times to see if you can possibly trigger your chemistry because you've sold the table and gotten rid of the locks of hair or whatever you've got conserved back there. You see? You've got to get a divorce before you can remarry.
Okay, doctor, you're saying date a person at least three times instead of
give up after one.
Okay, give them a chance three times.
What you're doing is you're not giving the new man. Everybody acts weird on a first date. Everybody. Give a man three chances unless he's in a uniform from jail.
Okay.
All right. We're out of time. Thanks so much, Colin.
Thank you, doctor. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
All right, Dr. Allen. What have you got to say tonight before we go?
What I've got to say is the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep. That's it.
Okay, everybody. We send out our warmest holiday wishes to you. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. Be safe and be joyous.
Good night.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.